Let us pray. God, in saying we believe in you, we open ourselves to a completely new way of living, a completely new paradigm and matrix. We acknowledge your presence among us today, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would shed light on that which is true, that which is beautiful, and that which is good. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The way the gospel ended today, I just love. It's about the measure you use will be used to you, which the golden rule is something I hope most of us have known since we're children. It was written on a ruler in our utility drawer. I remember that, even before I really remember learning it in church. And then the fact that it was in the Bible and that Jesus said it, I thought, oh. So that's where it came from. But did you hear it? This measure that's packed down, shaken together, and overflowing. You gotta love that. And when I read that, I think of my awe and wonder when I was about 4 and 5, about that time of my life. Occasionally my mother would take me downtown, and this is downtown Minneapolis. We'd take the bus in, and we'd have lunch at Woolworth's. And it was the old school diner with the mirror in behind. And the thing I would always get to order, and it reminds me of this passage, is a milkshake. And it was in the old school, you can imagine the tall glass with the spoon and the straw. But that's not what I'm talking about. It was not only getting this tall milkshake, but it was also getting the silver cup thing that they mix it in. Right? And they'd set that next to my malt or my milkshake. And I remember taking a sip in my milkshake and then looking in the metal cup and seeing that there was still that much in there. And I would get so excited because I had no brothers or sisters that were going to take it from me. It was all mine. And so I would sip a little more and then I'd look in the cup. And I thought, look at all I have. I can just relax into this treat. And that's what I think of this measure that we are anticipating. It also says it'll be poured in your lap. And one time in looking at the silver thing, I poured the entire contents in my lap. And so the scripture is quite direct to my experience. I cried. And the waitress made another milkshake for me and gave it to me. Wow. That was a great one. I hope you have those memories of being given more than you could have asked or imagined, more than you thought was coming to you, more than perhaps you deserved or you could even eat. You know, and that you encountered the blessing in that. And that's what God is calling us to do in return, right? To the least, to the last, to the lost, to the one that cannot repay us. And that seems to me what Vestry's about. It's an accounting of our resources so that we can be abundant. It's an accounting of God's works throughout the year through people, and we give thanks because God has done more than we could have imagined. And that comes through in the reports time and time again. Every effort has been made to send you and your household a report, and there's lots of good news in there. And so then I think, well, how do we maintain that reality that is not part of this world? Because this world is perishing. And so it's a time when we sow seeds. We sow seed after seed after seed, realizing that seed might die. My best idea at Vestry might have to die in order to bear any fruit at all. And so that paradox. And yet at this time of year, we're talking about seeds. Whenever Brian Minter is on the radio, I know it's probably time that we should be thinking about the garden. When Alan Haynes goes to umpiring school, which he did this morning, he left the service early. Baseball season's coming, right? So it's all these cues that something's coming, and how do we prepare? Well, Vestry is a time to plant seeds and then to give account for the growth of seeds planted last year. And so we sow seeds and then we do all we can to nurture the growth. If you've ever planted seed, and I've had six times, I've planted and broadcast an area of grass seed. Do you ever take interest in that plot? Of course you do. You might even rope it off. I would go out in the morning with my morning coffee and check on it. And I'd often be disappointed that it hadn't broken the ground yet. And then I'd wonder if there was really seed in there. Is this even possible? And then one day, poof, like a little green crew cut, you know, and there's sign. And then I get excited and I love watching it. And one day I cut the grass. And so how do we come into that rhythm at St. Cuthbert? And how do we maintain this attitude? And I do think it's an attitude both in our minds but also in our very beings, anticipating that there's going to be good things. One thing that can rob us of this engagement is worry and anxiety. And so the psalm today caught my attention because three times it says, don't fret. And three times it says, dwell in the land. And I think, the psalmist often balances things, and then there's a message even in the balance. In the charge not to fret, the refrain is, stay home. Keep it simple. Know whose you are. Know your identity. I think for the Israelites, that was staying in the land. Through disobedience, they were brought onto exile. They were cut off from the land. No, dwell in the land. That's the blessing. That's the gift. Stay home. Root yourself where you are. And so as a community at St. Cuthbert, we root ourselves in who we are. We look at our history. We do a survey. We say, you know, why are you here? What do you see God doing? What keeps you here at this place? And we've done that good work in the last year and a half. And then we move forward and we plant these seeds based on what we understand God to be doing and working in us. And so we have a vision committee that we hope the vestry will say yes to move that work forward. Don't fret, because most of what we fret about, the psalmist says, is going to burn. It's just temporary. How often is that true for you? And how do you fret? Different people do different things, right? Some people wring their hands. They don't even know they're doing it. Some people do other things. We fret in different ways. Some people fret by 3 a.m. doing this. Right? We're just like, how can I get back to sleep? How can I know this peace? And we hear scriptures like Paul exhorting us not to be anxious about anything. And we go, great, thanks a lot. But it says, but in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so there's something that we need to do with thanksgiving. And then we have the scripture that we recite many times, not every Sunday. And the result is then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. And that's the armor, that's the protection we need to not be consumed by worry, to not fret. So there's a simple meditation that we might take on for Lent. Sometimes it's the simple things, the small things that create the greatest change. What about this? What about the refrain in the psalm? Trust in the Lord and do good. That's our meditation for Lent. It starts with put. And there's an act of your will to put your trust in the Lord. But trust in the Lord and do good. That sums it up. Is there more? Sure there is. But why not focus on that? Dwell in the land and feed on its riches. Stay home. Someone said to me, you know, they were asked to go out after work on a Friday night. And she said, you know what? I just paid the rent. I just pay my gas bill, and I just paid my electrical. I just paid my cable, she said. Why go out and spend more money? I'm going to stay home and make the most of it. Right? Stay home. Be rooted and grounded in this land that God has given us. Dwell in the Lord. I think that's the translation. For Israel, it was the land, the promised land. And feed on its riches, God's provision. There's stability and sustenance there. And so what might that mean for us as a body? Take delight in the Lord, and he shall give you your heart's desire. It sounds beautiful, doesn't it? What does it mean? What would it mean to take delight in the Lord? And that is the precursor to our heart's desire. Because I know I desire things that the Lord would never give me. Ever. Because it wouldn't be good for me, although it is part of my heart's desire. Well, it's taking delight in the Lord and focusing on God's goodness, committing our way to the Lord, the psalmist says, putting your trust in him. And so we as an act of our will, we once again put our trust in him. We don't trust in others, and especially when we're let down by others, it's a cue that we need to put our trust in the Lord. Not fret, not get all bent out of shape, but just remember that ultimately we do need to put our trust in the Lord. The scriptures are our guide, and they will lead us. And the thing I love about the scriptures, it's not just like written instructions, but it's active and alive and empowers us to do the very thing that we are being called to do. And it starts with being. As we do this, the psalmist says, another threesome, three strands, he will bring it to pass, he will make your righteousness as clear as the light, and your just dealing as the noonday. All of these will be in harmony. There'll be shalom, there'll be integrity, and I believe that's what the follower of Jesus, that's how we shout in our lives. We have integrity. We let our light shine by simply living this life, and I'm not saying it's easy, but that's why we've been called together. The psalmist says there's another aspect as well, to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. How many of us find that difficult? You know, if you're jacked up on double espressos all day, it's impossible. It's just impossible. So how do we cultivate quiet, stillness? I've encouraged us all. There's a little sheet on Lent. I hope it went with the bulletin. Sometimes they don't make the connection. But it's an overview of Lent. And if you have a devotional practice, great. I'm asking you to increase it, not with any more reading, but with silence. Start with 10 minutes. Most of us have a phone that has a timer on it. You can't keep looking at the clock. It doesn't work that way. But just grow some silence and then work towards stillness. Don't fret yourself, again, is this refrain for the second time. Don't fret, but wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord. Cultivate a devotional life if you don't have one. Listening prayer if you get hung up on prayer, to be still before the Lord. And God will direct us. That's God's promise. Refrain from anger. Leave rage alone. Don't fret yourself. It only leads to evil. And so I wonder if we could, again, not just because it's vestry, but it's a good time to take stock. What it means to remain in the land, to be more rooted in God through Christ and to just enjoy the nourishment there. Put our trust in the Lord. Do good. Be his kids. And I think that's perhaps a guide for us as we look forward in this year ahead as God wills.